The door opened again, and a young woman came into the room. She had long, sleep-tousled dark hair, dark eyes, and a face a little too lean to be conventionally pretty. She wore a kimono of red silk belted loosely, so that gaps appeared as she moved. She evidently didn't have anything on underneath it. Like I said, Undertown is cold. The girl yawned and stretched lazily, watching me as she did. She, too, spoke with an odd, vaguely British accent.
Good morning.
And you, little one. Harry Dresden, I don't believe you've been introduced to my daughter, Deirdre. I eyed the girl, who seemed vaguely familiar. We haven't met.
Yes, we have, Deirdre said, reaching out to pluck a strawberry from the breakfast table.
She took a slow bite from it, lips sealed around the fruit.
At the harbor.
Ah, Madame Medusa, I presume.
Deirdre sighed.
I've never heard that one before. It's so amusing. May I kill him, Father?
Not just yet, Nicodemus said. But if it comes to that, he's mine. Deirdre nodded sleepily.
Have I missed breakfast?
Nicodemus smiled at her. Not at all. Give us a kiss. She slid onto his lap and did. With tongue.
Yuck.
After a moment, she rose, and Nicodemus held one of the chairs out for her as she sat down. He reseated himself and said, There are three chairs here, Dresden. Are you sure you wouldn't like to take breakfast with us? I started to tell him what he could do with his third chair, but the smell of food stopped me. I suddenly felt desperately, painfully hungry. The water got colder.
What did you have in mind?
Nicodemus nodded to one of the goons. The man walked over to me, drawing a jewelry box out of his pocket. He opened it, offering it out to me. I mimed a gasp.
But this is so sudden.
The goon glared. Nicodemus smiled. Inside the jewelry box was an ancient silver coin, like the one I'd seen in the alley behind the hospital. The tarnish on the coin was in the shape of another sigil.
You like me. You really like me, I said without enthusiasm. You want me to join up?
You needn't if you do not wish to, Nicodemus said. I just want you to hear our side of things before you make up your mind to die needlessly. Accept the coin. Have some breakfast with us. We can talk. After that, if you don't want to have anything to do with me, you may leave.
You just let me go?
Sure. If you accept the coin, I doubt I'd be able to stop you.
So what says I wouldn't turn around and use it against you?
Nothing, Nicodemus said. But I am a great believer in the benevolence of human nature. Like hell he was.
Do you actually think you could convince me to join up with you?
Yes, he said. I know you.
Do not.
Do too, he replied. I know more about you than you do yourself.
Such as?
Such as why you chose this kind of life for yourself. To appoint yourself protector of mortal kind, and to make yourself the enemy of any who would do them harm. To live outcast from your own kind, laughed at and mocked by most mortals. Living in a hovel, barely scraping by, spurning wealth and fame. Why do you do it?
I'm a disciple of the Tao of Peter Parker, obviously, I said.
I guess Nicodemus was a DC Comics fan because he didn't get it. It is all you will allow yourself, and I know why.
All right, why?
Because you're ruled by fear. You are afraid, Dresden, I said.
Of what?
Of what you could be if you ever let yourself stray from the right-hand path, Nicodemus said. Of the power you could use. You've thought about what it might be like to bend the world to your will. The things you could have, the people. Some part of you has considered and found joy in the idea of using your abilities to take what you wish. And you are afraid of that joy. So you drive yourself toward martyrdom instead. I started to deny his words, but I couldn't. He was right, or at least not wholly wrong. My voice came out subdued.
Everyone has thoughts like that sometimes.